And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in. Jason, Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Hope you're having a great day to this point. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos behind the glass. Joe, how was your Thanksgiving weekend?
It was good. A little time in El Paso. Blue Raiders got a win. Came back home early Sunday morning. Went downtown and did the pregame show and watched the worst football team I've ever seen play football. And then that was it, man. You?
It was good. It was very good. Had time with family. Went down to Mississippi. So it was definitely a lot of fun. And good for the Blue Raiders. That's two in a row to end the season.
Three and nine overall. Two in a row to end the season.
Well, at least you end on a high note.
So down in Mississippi, huh? Anything happened down in Mississippi the last 48 hours?
There were some it's funny. Like, I walk in, and my family all knows what I do, and they're like, so what you hearing about Lane? And I'm like, I think he's gone.
Right?
Like, that's what I'm not really hearing anything. I'm just – I think he's gone. And there's some that are State fans that are like, good, get rid of him. Then there's some that are Ole Miss fans that are just like in mourning. And
It's great. My favorite video was all the fans going to the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And the lady with her kid, about a year old in her arms, just dog cussing Lane Kiffin. And the caption says, it just means more. And then, is that picture legitimate of his clothes in the parking lot? They like got all of his wardrobe out of the office.
Oh, I don't know.
And threw and there's like a clothing rack, and it's in the middle of a parking lot. And they said that's his clothes.
I hope that's true. That's so funny.
Brilliant.
Here is my whole quick, and we're going to talk about this a lot today, but my whole quick take on it is I think he's making a mistake. I think he should have stayed in Oxford. He could have stayed there and been, you know, run the state of Mississippi for as long as he wanted to. I don't think they have a team good enough to win the national championship this year, but I think they have a team good enough that, you know, maybe could win a game or two in the playoff. Now you've hurt that because you're going to have guys opting out and wanting to go with him and coaches and stuff like that. So, I mean, the committee is probably going to punish Ole Miss because of
this. Shame.
Yeah, but this is college football's fault. I'm not saying it's not Lane's fault, but like if he feels like LSU is a step up for him, he has the right to do that. He has a right to make that move.
Yeah.
Where it's college football's fault is put something in place where none of this crap happens until after the season is over. But you've sat on your ass and covered your eyes for so long that it's the wild, wild west. You have it with coaches. Now you have it with players that they can move anytime they want. Now you've moved the transfer portal to have one transfer portal, which is great. Took you long enough. But still, isn't it like January 2nd?
To the 16th, yeah.
Right. So the season's not over yet. You put something in place, like the NFL, that says, you know, hey, you finish what you started. And none of this coaching carousel BS starts until after the season. And don't give me the, well, recruiting and all that stuff. You have control to fix that. You choose not to.
Question of the day is now, should Lane Kiffin been allowed to coach Ole Miss in the playoffs? I really want to know what people think. That's our question today. Should Lane Kiffin been allowed to coach Ole Miss in the playoffs? 615-737-1025. There's a lot of varying responses on this. I'm going to tell you mine real quick. Absolutely not. And the fact that he poached the other coaches and said, here's an ultimatum. Come with me
He claims that's not true.
Come with me or else. But a lot of people report, of course he's going to say no on that. But I'm rooting for Ole Miss now. I am rooting for those kids at Ole Miss. And to not meet with your team and say goodbye, coward.
Yep.
Lane Kiffin is an absolute coward.
And then he's blaming the AD.
Coward.
He's saying Keith Carter didn't allow any of that, which, I mean, that may very well be true. I actually think that might be true. But if I think the question you have to ask is, if you're the athletic director and your coach – that has had the most success of any coach in history. You've given him everything he's ever asked you for.
Everything.
Everything. Has decided to go to one of your arch rivals. Like, I don't blame Keith Carter.
No.
If you came to me today and said, hey, man, I'm going over to 104.5. I'd like to finish out the week. I'd tell you to pack your bags and right. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Exactly. So I need to hear from Keith Carter whether that's not whether that's true or not.
I love you, but
I get
like,
it.
Well, like I would like no.
If it's not true, and then he said you had an opportunity to meet with the team, he left. I mean, so
yeah.
That's something else. But he should not be allowed to coach Ole Miss. You are now the head coach of another team. You held that school hostage for a week. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted.
The best tweet I saw was like there was this Ole Miss fan account that's like had a ton of followers and everything and like absolutely loved Lane Kiffin and goes, Tennessee fans, I owe you an apology. I get it now.
Right. He tried to sabotage Tennessee.
And then he likes to sit
y'all
there.
Y'all forgot about this.
He likes to sit there and say, you know, I feel bad about that year and how things, you know, how I did that and how things ended. And I mean, again, like he has the right. If he feels like this is a better fit for him and his family and an upgrade and $48 million or whatever, like he has the right to leave. I don't have to agree with it.
No.
But like I'm not going to fault him there. But don't be phony about it. Don't blame, you know, Feinbaum went on ESPN this morning and was like, of course, he's blaming the only adult in the room. That's the typical Lane.
Yeah.
And like my thing is just be like, hey, I've loved my time here. You know, we sat down, we talked. Ultimately, we decided that it wasn't in the best interest of Ole Miss moving forward for me to stay as, you know, through the playoffs. So I wish them luck and, you know, and then be done with it. But to, you know, constantly like I don't know if you watched the interview he did with Marty Smith. Like, Marty asked all the right questions.
Sure.
And they're tight. But, you know, he was basically like, I don't blame Keith Carter. Like, I get it. Like, and all this stuff, but he's like, yeah, it was ultimately him. He wouldn't let me meet with the team. He didn't want me to stay through the playoff. Like, it was all him. And where it should have been like, hey, I get it. I'm taking another job, so I got
to
go.
Well, I need to hear from the AD before anything else because I really think an AD would allow you to meet your team and say goodbye. I just think he got out of town, and that's it. So he's gone. He's done. I think he should not be allowed. Some of y'all think he should, and no. I don't know why.
No, and look.
I don't know why you think he should be allowed. He's the head coach of another team. He held your team hostage for a week. Get out of here.
But do you agree, and I'd be curious of what some of your coaching friends say, that like the system screwed up of how they're allowed to do this? Because it is like Brian Kelly did it to Cincinnati, you know, I mean, there are plenty of examples.
DiNardo did it to Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
here,
right. Like, left. There's plenty of examples.
What were you talking about without talking to your team?
I'm just talking about, like today, December 1st, should not be the day that a coach is leaving. Like, you should have to wait till the season's over. The season's not over until January 18th. And I, you know, now look, if you get eliminated and you're not playing anymore, fine. Right. But, like, if LSU wanted him bad enough, they could have waited. Like, I know they don't owe anything to Ole Miss, but the way the system is set
waited
up
for
to hire him. But the way the system's set up, they don't do that. They know they can get him, and it's like, all right, screw you, Ole Miss, sorry. And he moves on. I mean, he's already in the building.
Well, nobody's going to wait.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. College football and college athletics, they're the ones that cause all this.
Yeah, not going to have the LSU's not going to go a month without a head coach. They're not going to do it. They're going to go after their
they
guy.
They would if it was like the NFL and it was set up of
will never happen. Can't,
and I know
because that, of recruiting.
Right. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They have control to fix it and they don't do it cuz they don't give a you know what.
Well, it's not that. I don't think anybody's going to buy into that. If I'm university, I'm not waiting a month to hire a coach. If I want Chase McCabe as my head coach, I'm going to get Chase McCabe as my head coach. I'm not going to wait.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do that and put my team and let recruits go left and right and not have anybody when you finally sign on January the 3rd, whole month has gone by and the recruits have decommitted. No, man, you want it now. Look, I don't begrudge Lane Kiffin. Go get the money. I don't – whatever. That's what
I think he's going to crash and burn.
Go do it. Go chase it. But LSU, you know what you're getting. You know what's going on there. For Ole Miss, they just moved up their defensive coordinator. And look, they shouldn't be penalized. I know Herbstreit will probably penalize them, but they shouldn't be penalized. They finished 11-1. 11-1. Don't hurt the kids. And they will. They'll hurt the kids on this. And it's just, it's not right and it's not good to hurt the kids when a coach leaves.
Right. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com and our question of the day presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. One coach that is staying, Clark Lea. And congratulations to them. 10-2, first time ever that they've won 10 games in a season, defeat Tennessee up in Knoxville. First half was pretty back and forth with some mistakes. They clean that up in the second half, pull away, and ultimately get the win. Unfortunately, I think our 10-win team is going to be left out of the college football playoff.
Yeah, right. I think that 10 years from now, you'll look in the book and see that Vanderbilt won 45-24. But don't lose sight that Vanderbilt walked in the Neyland Stadium and punched them right in the face. They out everything. Physical, man, hustled, every aspect of that game, Vanderbilt beat Tennessee in every single aspect of that game. Kudos to Vanderbilt and Clark Lea. And look, we'll get into a lot of Diego Pavia talk as we go throughout the week, but that dude deserves to be in New York City. That dude
agreed
should be a top two Heisman finalist. Call and argue if you want. I will knock down every argument you have. But my gosh, he is the one guy you had to stop on Saturday. You couldn't stop him. In front of 95,000 people, you could not stop him. And you know he's getting the ball. No player is more valuable to their team in college football than Diego Pavia. Not the guy in Indiana, not the quarterback at Ohio State, not the linebacker at Texas Tech, not the running back at Notre Dame, and on and on and on. Diego Pavia is the most important person to his team and in college football. I think he should be probably a top two finalist. He'll be a top four, but I don't think he makes the top two just because his antics off the field are going to rub a lot of these voters the wrong way, and that's really, really sad.
Yep, I agree. A couple of bowl projections that, and again, these are just the prognosticators that are making their predictions, but from ESPN, you have one that has in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, Georgia Tech and Tennessee, and Mark Schlabaugh has Miami and Vanderbilt.
Ooh, where's that game?
The Gator Bowl.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then a couple of others that I have seen. By the way, Music City Bowl, Bunagura has Nebraska, Missouri. Schlabaugh has Nebraska, LSU, which could be intriguing.
Yeah, that's funny. I read this morning, Lane would not coach the bowl game.
Yeah.
He's 26. That's when he starts.
The ReliaQuest Bowl, which is down in Tampa. Bonagura has Illinois against Vanderbilt, and Schlabaugh has Iowa against Tennessee.
Oh, not another Iowa-Tennessee matchup. Oh, gosh.
So I've seen Orlando, too, for Vandy.
Good, good. They should not – look, Music City Bowl is wonderful. Do not go to the Music City Bowl. You need to get out of town.
No. I mean, look. I think the one I've seen the most is the Citrus Bowl against Michigan.
Be good.
Which I think would be an awesome matchup. So
absolutely, man.
I think that – and that's New Year's Eve. So New Year's Eve day down in Orlando –
even better.
I mean, look.
Even better.
We can sit here and we can make arguments and of should they be in the playoff, and I can give you reasons why the answer is yes. I can give you reasons why the answer is no. But ultimately, it's up to the committee, and I have a feeling they're going to decide that Vandy's not in, and that sucks.
But, it does.
But
I mean, they're not out yet.
No.
But they got a long road to get there, and there's some still scenarios.
They really needed Oklahoma to lose and Auburn to win.
So let me ask you this. Virginia and Duke are the ACC championship.
Yep.
Is one of them guaranteed a spot?
So
I'm so confused.
I don't know. I think it's also about rankings, too. Like,
then why play the game?
There's – if Virginia wins, then yeah, I think they're in.
Because they'll be 10-2 or 11-2.
And they'll be the ACC champ.
Right.
If Duke wins, I'm not so sure.
So why play it? If you're not guaranteed. I just don't understand. It's like the NFL kickoff rule. I still don't understand what's going on there. I don't. Landing zone?
I don't know if they do either.
They don't. So I got to figure this stuff out, man.
615-737-1025. We'll talk a full weekend of college football and also the Titans lose again yesterday.
Good Lord.
That is all ahead. Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.
Why was LSU the right choice for you? Yeah, just, you know, there was something in me. This was really hard. My heart was here. But I just, you know, I talked to some mentors, Coach Carroll, Coach Saban, you know, and especially when Coach Carroll said, man, your dad would tell you to go, man, take the shot. You know, take the shot. You've accomplished a lot here. You know, I always hated how we only gave 1 year to Tennessee and left. I really hated that feeling of that, you know, even though it was an exciting year. But, you know, I think that we gave a lot to this program and to the city. And, you know, some of the most historic wins in this stadium we've ever had, and best regular season in the history of the school. So I feel proud of that part. But it just became time, you know. I talked to God and he told me it's time to take a new step. It's a new chapter.
Well done, Dr. Crane. Lane Kiffin with Marty Smith from ESPN. Again, and look, I think when the smoke settles on all of this and emotions go down, I mean, I think both sides can look and probably find some areas they could have done things a little bit differently. I don't fault Lane Kiffin for following his heart and whatever he thinks, and obviously the money and resources that he is going to have more money and resources at LSU.
$25 million NIL every year.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have more to work with. There's no question. But I think it's going to be a mistake because I think they have no patience there. And I think he's been shown he's put up results and been shown a great deal of patience in Oxford. And so they're hurt. And, you know, I think that if the AD decided he couldn't meet with the team, that's wrong. If he decided not to meet with the team just to leave, that's wrong. But at the end of the day, this is what it is, and this is college football. And now Lane Kiffin is in LSU.
Here is the 2026 LSU football schedule, and I saw what I wanted to see.
Oh, yeah.
At Ole Miss.
There's another one on there, too.
Game day's already on their way there. So LSU schedule on the road next year at Arkansas, at Auburn, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss.
Keep going.
Neyland Stadium.
Yep.
So, but he's already been back there as a coach.
I know,
so.
But still,
Ole Miss is not letting this go. Tennessee fans, you had a soft heart and you forgave him. I mean, he left your program in shambles.
All right,
coach, you had to hire Derek Dooley in mid-January.
Let me correct you. They forgave him when they thought he might come back.
Yeah.
When they realized he wasn't going to come back, they got over it. They went after him.
So, I mean, every schedule in the SEC's tough. I mean, they're all tough next year. He's got McNeese State, though, coming in, so that's good. Oh, Clemson comes into Baton Rouge next year.
We'll see what happens. Do you believe the when he said, like, you know, Pete Carroll telling him, hey, your dad would tell you to take the shot?
Yeah,
like, say, all that. I do, too. I mean, look, I think from looking at this, not how it went and all that stuff, if I'm Nick Saban or Pete Carroll, who he is, you know, cited as two guys he looks up to and that he was talking to about this, I think both of them said, Lane, you got to take the job.
Well, there's some quote by Pete Carroll who said, I told your dad I always take care of you no matter what, and I, you know, always be there for you. So I'm sure they said go. And the question I'm sure Saban and Carroll asked was, how much they paying you? How much NIL you get?
Sure.
$25 million. Oh, go. They're convinced he could never win a national championship at Ole Miss. And he had to go into the portal and spend a lot of money to bring guys there. So now you're chasing a championship. So you go to another school where you got to rebuild that to chase a championship. We're in the middle right now of chasing a championship. Again, I don't blame him for going. That's what he wanted to do. But don't give me the pity party about how things are going and how bad they are and everything. Ole Miss, I mean, just devastated. I mean, you lose your head coach now, you're in the playoffs, and that's what teams are going to have to deal with. Remember, you don't play for the coach. You play for the school at the end of the day. He left you boys high and dry and took off to Baton Rouge, and that, good for him. He's gone. Now you guys are left there. You know how you pay him back? You go out and you win games. You go out and win as many games as you can in the national or in the playoff and see what happens. So Ole Miss still has the last say in this. I'm sorry. They got the last say in what can happen. Don't penalize the boys because the coach left. Don't do that.
Yep. I'm 100% with you. All right. What do you think about some of the other coaching carousel moves that we have seen you know, and we knew this was going to happen, like the dominoes start falling, especially with the regular season over. Mark Stoops out at Kentucky.
About time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised there. Jonathan Smith out at Michigan State. Looks like Pat Fitzgerald is emerging to be the favorite there.
Only 2 years in.
Yeah.
And a lot of fan base are like, what are we doing here?
They've screwed this up, though. I think they've made two questionable hires since D'Antonio.
Yeah.
And and I think Fitzgerald is a good fit. I've been saying that. I think Pat Fitzgerald is the right fit. He's a Big Ten coach. I think he'll do a good job at Michigan State. Coastal Carolina fires Tim Beck.
Yeah,
not the Tim Beck that's advantage.
Correct. Yeah, it's a nice little job there. I mean, but your time runs. That's why people are like, well, you should never leave a Group of Five school. When you win games, a Group of Five,
you're gonna leave.
Go.
John Summerall leaves Tulane for Florida.
Guy has won everywhere he's been.
Yep.
And he played the game. He knows the game. He's a hell of a coach. Problem is, with you Florida fans, he's got the same record Billy Napier had when he went into Gainesville. Give this guy time. He'll be fantastic.
Well, there's three jobs that I'm naming right now, and I'm going to have a comment on those in just a second. Alex Golish out at South Florida, hired by Auburn.
Fantastic.
Ryan Silverfield out at Memphis, hired by Arkansas.
Fantastic.
Billy Napier should land at one of those three schools.
That they left?
Yeah, so either Tulane, South Florida, or Memphis.
I think Memphis will go after the Kennesaw State coach. It's Willie – what's his name? I forget his name. He's got a Memphis tie. Forget his name now, obviously. Should go there. But, yeah, why not?
I think Napier's Walt Wells should be up for one of
Walt
those
Wells,
jobs.
Hell yeah. Coastal Carolina, we'll go to the beach and live out Myrtle Beach with him. It's 10 minutes from the beach there. But
look, all kidding aside, Coastal will be a great fit for him.
Oh, absolutely. And look, some of y'all griping about Silverfield at Arkansas. Who do you want? You're not getting Gruden. You're not getting Kiffin. You're not getting Saban. Lou Holtz ain't walking through that door. Houston Nutt's not coming back. Ryan Silverfield is a great
– He's good.
Look at his
coach.
Record at Memphis. His record is really good. That's a heck of a coach. That's a heck of a hire at Arkansas.
Do you like Pete Golding getting the job permanently at
Absolutely.
Ole Miss?
I read what the players want, and they wanted him. They wanted some sustainability, some continuity with him. He loves those players. They love him. Absolutely.
Jim Mora out at UConn, hired by Colorado State. Eric Morris out at North Texas, hired by Oklahoma State. Cal fired Justin Wilcox. And then, obviously, Penn State's still open. UCLA is still open.
Chris Lowe came out today with the thing how Heupel's name was mentioned for Penn State, and he's like, no, that's zero there. There's nothing to see there. Heupel's not going to Penn State, although some Tennessee fans wouldn't mind seeing him go to Penn State.
Yeah. So I'll be curious. And who is this Tevita Pritchard guy that Stanford hired?
He is a former quarterback. Him and Andrew Luck are really, really, really tight. Is he with the Commanders?
Yeah.
Really respected around the league. And that's a guy that Andrew Luck handpicked, and that's a perfect Stanford guy for them.
So the biggest job that I guess is still open is Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, Summerall hasn't signed at Florida yet.
Hasn't, but I think it's about done.
Unless Kentucky, his home, he loves Kentucky.
I don't go to Kentucky.
And they say, hey.
What did I text you and Ricky this morning?
Good morning, cuties.
No, after that.
You don't coach football to basketball school.
If you are a football coach that has desires of winning championships and moving up through the ranks, don't go coach at a basketball school.
Right. That's why we looked up. We laughed. Like, who won the college basketball national championship last year?
Florida.
Yeah, right. It's like, well, yeah. I think it's a football school. Yeah, you have success there. That's great. Nobody cares. Right. Nobody cares. The only time you care is the default because your football team stinks.
Right.
You're like, oh, look at our basketball team. But it's all football. Absolutely it is.
615-737-1025. We'll keep this discussion going. Feel free to weigh in on any of the coaching moves and the games over the weekend. The SEC title game is set between Georgia and Alabama.
Where's my spotter?
So it should be a lot of fun down in Atlanta. The rivalry renewed between Georgia and Alabama. We'll discuss that and much more coming up next. Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Something tells me you may hear this when Alabama hits the field.
Still a song about Tennessee.
Right? It is.
Isn't that the thing that drives people crazy?
I think, that's what's crazy is, like, you know, all the Bama fans will do the F Auburn and LSU and Tennessee too.
Did you see Football Scoop just moments ago says Penn State talking with BYU coach Kalani, and I'm not going to say his last name because I'll get fired, is about to heat up. That's a good one.
So Brian Kelly might be left out this cycle.
He's counting his money. And then his son runs out on senior night at LSU with a shirt that says Free Brian Kelly. Your dad walked away with $50 million. Shut up.
Yep. I will be curious on that if he ended up somewhere. But to me, Penn State would probably be the likely. I did laugh, though. Somebody on Twitter last night said, Ole Miss has the opportunity to do the most hilarious thing ever, and it was a picture of Brian Kelly in an Ole Miss. Ole Miss stuff. By the way, Lane Kiffin becomes the first head coach to coach at three different SEC programs.
Is that right? Did we figure that out?
Yeah, because people that were saying, like, Bear Bryant coached at Texas A&M, they were not in the SEC.
Correct, right.
So you can't – it's not retroactive. Like,
bingo.
What he actually did. So, like, Jerry DiNardo coached
– Vandy LSU. Did we find one that did three, though? Wasn't there somebody that's done three that's been current or no?
I don't think so.
Spurrier, Muschamp.
Spurrier was two. Muschamp was two. Saban was two.
Barrett, Alabama, Kentucky. Auburn did – Hugh Freeze has been at Ole Miss and Auburn.
Being an assistant coach doesn't count.
Correct. Gus was at Arkansas. No, he wasn't head coach at Arkansas, was he? No, he wasn't. No,
it was just Auburn.
Just Auburn, okay, and UCF. So that doesn't count. I thought we'd left. Tuberville went to Ole Miss to Auburn.
Mm-hmm. Houston Nutt, Arkansas, Ole Miss.
Jackie Sherrill coached at A&M when they were not in the SEC, and he coached at Mississippi State. I thought we had
Steve
one
Steve Sloan
three.
At a couple of different places?
He was at Duke, Texas Tech, and Vandy. He played at Alabama. He was AD at Alabama, but never a coach. Are we leaving somebody off? DiNardo, Vandy, LSU.
Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State, Florida.
Yep. Doug Dickey, Florida, Tennessee. I thought we had hit on one. It's driving me crazy now to figure it out.
I don't think so.
See, Lou Holtz was at Arkansas. They were not in the SEC, though, when he was there, but he was at South Carolina.
Yep.
Florida, Spurrier, Charlie Pell, going back to Galen Hall, going back and back. No, nobody there. Georgia, Rick was at Georgia and Miami. That doesn't count. Dooley was there forever. Donnan was at Marshall. Ray Goff was a Georgia guy. I'm trying to backtrack through all these guys.
Kirby Pat Dye was just
– Pat Dye was at East Carolina, Wyoming, and Auburn, so that doesn't count.
Vince Dooley was –
he's at
Georgia
forever, yep. Did Kentucky, where did Kentucky, Rich Brooks, Joker, Guy Morris.
Where was Rich Brooks before Kentucky?
Oregon. So it didn't count. Frank Hershey went to Indiana, I think, and Kentucky. I'm just going through my head because I'm a savant when it comes to these old coaches. LSU. No, I don't think so, right? I think so, too. I thought we hit on one that went to three. Okay, I don't like Kiffin being a groundbreaker or trailblazer.
Did you? Well, yeah, no. Dana Bible doesn't count because they weren't in the SEC.
Where'd he coach? Boston College.
Yeah, I think this is wrong. AI is wrong. It does a good job, but sometimes it's wrong. yeah, I think Lane is the first.
Oh, man, don't tell me that.
So I
was Ed Orgeron ever an interim head coach for an SEC team? Because he did coach Ole Miss and LSU as a head coach.
That's a good point. I don't
but
think
does
that
interim
was.
Count for this?
I don't really count interim, but he was interim at USC.
Well, you got to because Brady Hoke counts as a coach at Tennessee.
When
Butch left. So although it doesn't seem fair, but that's what it is.
All right. So was Orgeron
LSU and Ole Miss? That's all I think of. Yeah,
he was at Tennessee, but not as an interim. I don't think.
No, he was
because he left. He was
Lane's assistant.
Here's why he's I'm not a fan of his, because when Kiffin left, he spent all night long on the phone with recruits not to go to class the next day, because once you go to class, you can't leave. He was telling every recruit. I mean, he is an absolute snake. And you could love him because he's funny, and Rex Rhodes does an amazing impression of him, which I laugh every time, which is spot on. But he's just an – and then he had something about some player where they broke into the high school. Did you hear this? Broke into a high school. They did a player's transcript, got the janitor to open the door. Then they broke into the admissions office, called the admissions counselor during a snow blizzard to come down there and get – it was Fred Davis was the player. Had to flip him, and they flipped him. And like, they all do that. I get that. But that's snake stuff, man. Calling recruits and not go to class. That's why you're there. We all know it's about football, but they'll tell you it's about going to class, and Orgeron didn't do that. But, I swear we had one guy that did that.
Well, the only thing I can find is Dennis Erickson in the Pac-10, Pac-12, but not SEC.
No, I don't care about that. Yeah. SEC only.
Yeah, yeah. I think SEC has just been two places.
Right.
God. Do you count – so remember it still wouldn't be three, but like Steve Sarkisian was the interim coach for Saban during the COVID year because Saban got COVID.
That's a great question.
Does that count?
That's a great question. Does he get the – who gets the win in the law?
I think Saban gets the win.
Then that's the yeah. ultimate, like, who gets what. And if Saban got that, then that's how it goes. Yeah, so I don't think so. I mean, there's been a lot of variations of interim and coaches and stepping in, but – yeah,
again, people want to say Bear Bryant. That doesn't count. Texas A&M was not in the SEC at the time.
You are correct, sir.
I mean, and assistant coach doesn't count either.
No. They've all, I mean,
Muschamp was at what? LSU, Auburn,
Florida, Texas,
Georgia,
Texas, Valdosta State, Eastern Kentucky. I mean, look at these coaches, assistant coaches. Nobody stays 3 to 4 to 5. I mean, they are bouncing everywhere. I know some coaches that have been at different spots in 9 different years. That is not a way to raise kids. That's not fun to do that when you're having to pluck them out and put them in another school each and every year. Not good.
Yeah. So unless we can think of all right, Rick wants to weigh in on this. Rick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Let me first of all say Fran Kersey was never at Indiana.
Oh, my bad. I thought he was.
No. And I'm an Indiana fan, so I know. But I think you may have said it, but I may have missed it, is Jerry DiNardo is at LSU and Vanderbilt.
Correct. And Indiana.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know whether you mentioned him or that was the one you're thinking of that you couldn't think of.
We needed three SEC schools.
We're saying that Lane Kiffin's going to be the first to coach at three different SEC schools.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what it is. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Tim wants to weigh in on Vandy. Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, getting back to your coaches. Steve Sloan did go to Ole Miss after Vanderbilt.
Did he?
Yes. And then the other coach that you're thinking about was Bill Curry. He went from Alabama to Kentucky.
That's right, yeah. From Georgia Tech to Alabama to Kentucky. That's right.
Steve Sloan was at Ole Miss before Vanderbilt, I guess.
Okay.
You're right. He came back to Vanderbilt as the OC.
Yeah, he went to Texas Tech after Vandy.
Yeah.
Well, he went, and he coached us to 2 winning seasons, and then 75 or 76, and then left, and then it was Ole Miss after that. But, yeah, he was in 2, and then Bill Curry was at Alabama and then went to Kentucky.
Yeah, Sloan's 2 years at Vandy, 3 years at Texas Tech, 5 years at Ole Miss, and then 4 years at Duke. So, yeah, he had some success, but, you know, he got out when he knew that Texas Tech offered that. So, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's 4 schools he was at there. But Sloan was a good one.
Yeah. Now, what did y'all think about the Vanderbilt game Saturday?
Thought it was good. Thought it was, you know, first half was close, and then I thought Vandy let the offense cook in the second half.
You know, it's going to be a shame. You've got a 10-2 SEC team. Probably be the only 10-2 team in the SEC that don't ever make it, and it's going to be us.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right.
Yeah, but don't keep hope alive until you absolutely know they're not in. Because anything can happen. So I just keep the hope there, man, just in case things fall your way. You never know.
You're sitting here and you got Sarkisian talking about they need to be in and they bust three games. And one of their losses was to a three-win Florida game. And he's talking out his butt. And, you know, we beat Tennessee and we did beat them good. But Tennessee didn't beat a team with a winning record all season.
You are correct. They did not beat a team that's going to a bowl game. You are right on that.
No, they haven't been one that's got a winning record. You go back and look, everybody's below 500.
Yeah,
yep,
you're
point.
Right. No, I mean, you're exactly right. But you can only play who's on your schedule and beat those teams. But, yeah, you're right. So, look, Georgia's got to play Alabama in the SEC championship game. If Georgia wins, Alabama's got three losses. Did they get in? I mean,
Somebody said if you go to the championship game, they're not going to hold it against you.
That's a great point, but why? I mean, so like for Georgia, are you penalized if you lose this game on Saturday?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, this whole deal, the way they got it set up, you got to take the group of four team. You've got to have one of them. I understand that, but you're putting them in there, and you can't tell me that they're going to win a game. Probably not any of them. And you've got a team. They were talking. Roman Harper was talking Saturday on ESPN, on SEC Network. He said, if Vanderbilt does make it to the playoffs, he said, they ain't a team in the playoffs that's going to want to face Vanderbilt.
It's true. Thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
So, in the regular season matchup, Bama beat Georgia, right?
Yes.
So, they would. So if Georgia wins, they'd be split this year.
Georgia gave that game away.
Yeah.
Gave it away. So,
by the way, just to put this all in perspective, in the SEC final standings at 10-2, Vanderbilt's seventh.
Good Lord. Who's ahead of them? Alabama, Georgia.
Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma.
I don't know why Oklahoma.
Oklahoma keep winning those games, beating Alabama and Tennessee. It really hurt Vanderbilt big time.
But in points four, like in that metric, Vandy's fourth.
Good. I mean, I hope they get in. Until they say they're out, I hope they get in. You never know. You never know what happens.
Yep.
I mean, Indiana, Ohio State play each other on Saturday. Georgia, Alabama play each other.
That is the question. Does the committee, if Bama lose, let's say Georgia just rolls. Georgia wins by two or three touchdowns. Does the committee punish Alabama for getting the third loss in a conference championship game?
I don't think you can, but you should be law. I don't know. That's a problem.
But I think they punish Ole Miss for Lane leaving. I don't think they get left out, but I think they.
So what if Ohio State beats Indiana 55-7?
Indiana's still probably in.
Right. It's win the games you can. I just think something should be, because it's so difficult in the SEC.
I'm with you, though. Like, you can only play the games that are on your schedule, and I do think. Like, I just think you can't punish somebody for something that they had no control over.
Right. You're right. No, you're right. And I would love to see that committee like, hey, Vanderbilt is the 12th team in. That would be fantastic. Oh, well, that Sunday when it comes out would be great. I just keep hope alive, man, until you know you're not in.
Dr. Crane has sent us something interesting. If it was still the BCS, what would it look like? I'll tell you those rankings coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game.
Vanderbilt on the cusp of the red zone. The season on the cusp of greatness. Pistol formation for Pavia from a Kylan Gunn behind him. Man's in motion. There's the snap. Pavia runs toward the left. He finds some space. There goes Pavia at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown, Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia. This kid is a legend.
Andrew Allegretta on the call. Vanderbilt defeats Tennessee on Saturday up in Knoxville.
Not just defeated. I mean, they beat the snot out of them.
So in my lifetime, I have seen them beat Tennessee. So I was born in 87. So
05,
which was up there. 08 here?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
I know they've beaten them here a couple times, like Franklin did. And
13 up there.
Okay.
16 here when Kamara stepped out at 4th and 10.
Yep.
17 up there. 18. Did they not beat Pruitt? Did Mason beat Pruitt back here?
I think Mason beat him like two or three times.
Dirk Mason's the only Vanderbilt coach to beat three different Tennessee head coaches. He beat Butch.
So they beat Vanderbilt won three in a row. 16, 17, 18.
He beat Butch, Brady Hoke, and Pruitt.
And then 12 and 13 back to back.
That's when Dooley quit.
Yep. And then 05.
Then 05. And then yeah.
So in my lifetime, I have seen, because 82 was the last time before, so I have seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. Yep. Good for you, man. From 82 to 05, it was as lopsided as Tennessee and Kentucky was for such a long time. I think Tennessee and Kentucky was 85 to 2011. Awful. Just awful. So good for you, buddy.
So 81, 33, and 5 is Tennessee's record against Vanderbilt all the time.
All that matters, though, is the last one.
Yep.
So Tennessee fans have gone awfully quiet.
I'm kind of curious where they are
over this, man.
All right, so somebody kept up with the BCS formula
to do the
rankings. So this is the top 25 as of November 30th with the BCS. Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama at 10. BYU at 11, Vanderbilt at 12, Miami, Texas, Utah, USC, Michigan, Virginia, North Texas, James Madison, Tulane, Arizona, Navy, Tennessee, Iowa.
Woo!
So if you were looking at it from that perspective.
Only thing, though, is does it count?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, right? And I hate that. That's why I'm going to keep hope alive that they somehow it all works out. I need scenarios for this weekend. Like what happens if Duke beats Virginia and Alabama beats Georgia and Texas Tech gets beat by BYU? And what's the other game I'm leaving out there? Is there Indiana, Ohio State?
Texas Tulane could decide.
Okay.
Couldn't that decide something?
Well,
that's the American.
Isn't a group of five guaranteed, regardless, a spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't matter.
I think if Tulane wins that and North Texas loses, that solidifies it for JMU, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that might be right. Because I do think this game matters, of which group of five team gets in.
Okay, that's good. But but that doesn't affect Vanderbilt.
Right.
Because you're only guaranteed a spot. I need scenarios of how Vanderbilt gets in.
So, the Big 12, BYU, Texas Tech. Do you take the loser of that game?
No. All right, you do. Tech's fifth.
Right.
They're 11.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, do you if BYU loses?
No.
Again, you're saying you're punishing them for the championship game. But I agree. Like,
God, right?
I don't see how you can take.
It's crazy.
An 11-2 BYU over a 10-2 Vanderbilt.
Does it matter?
Based on the schedule.
That Georgia beat Tennessee in overtime, Oklahoma went down to the last second to beat them, and Vanderbilt beat them by three touchdowns.
I don't know.
God, there's so much. I spoke to Chris Massaro this weekend a little bit about – I didn't get into details, but he's like he was going to spend all day Sunday, all day today, looking, talking, and everything goes on. I do not want your job.
I am going to be – again, this is one of those things. Don't tell me, well, the rules are the rules. I could be pissed off and understand what the rules are. If Duke beats Virginia and a then 8-5 Duke team gets in because they won the ACC, I'm going to break something. I'm absolutely going to break something.
So what's fair? The rules are already out there.
I get it. But it just shows you how inferior – the ACC is compared to the SEC and the Big Ten.
Well, then get rid of all conferences. Make it one big tournament.
I'm sign me up.
Yep.
They're basically doing that. Like, it's going to get to that point.
Isn't 14 coming next year?
I don't know. I don't think they've decided that.
Why can't they just have play-in games?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to 16. I don't think they're
going to 14. They'll eventually go to 32, and then the 33rd and 34th team will be bitching because they're out of it, and on and on and on. I mean, it's just they created this nightmare scenario.
Here's my thing. I know we got to go. We're way late. But, here's my thing. Of all the years, Vanderbilt has never had a year like this in history. And it's like, can you not just give it to us? Come on, man.
I need the scenario.
I know.
There's got to be one out there that they get in. Got to be.
If
BYU losing is good.
I think if Alabama and BYU lose, it will be, are they going to punish the loser of the championship game?
You need Duke to lose too.
Yeah, and Duke.
Yep, to right. Get out of here.
But I mean, that's going to be the thing. Are you going to look at Alabama's resume? But again, they can argue, well, Alabama beat Vanderbilt.
Who gets Miami or Vandy, if you had to pick right now?
Vandy.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
I think Vandy played a tougher schedule.
Uh-huh.
That's not – I mean, yeah, there's bias there, but, I mean, it's also, I think, fact behind it, too.
Who beat Miami? Was it SMU and then what's the other team, Dr. Crane? Who beat Miami? SMU and
– Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah, you're right.
Here's the other thing. Notre Dame. I mean, they're going to get in.
Of course.
Because they're Notre Dame.
7-5 they get in. It's Notre Dame.
But it's still BS.
You can blame Dr. Crane for all that stuff.
Look, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's all we know.
Yeah, well,
it's not the X's and O's. It's the cross. That's all.
Well, join a damn conference. That's what I say.
Aren't they in the air quote ACC, right?
It's in basketball. And then they play an SEC schedule. This is so, it's just every time I look at college football and all the BS that happens,
right.
I'm just like, this is why we love it, but why have we allowed this?
We spent an hour on this. We could spend 7 more hours talking about it. I love it, man.
I know. And I'm a typical Vandy fan that I'm already pissed off about something that hadn't even happened yet.
Right. You're exactly right.
I absolutely love it. Unfortunately, we'll talk about the Titans in hour number 2 because why not? I'm sorry. You know, we don't have to. You tell me if you don't want to. But we'll try. We'll see. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.